Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to our 41,000-plus listeners who decided to tune into a show here on Talk Radio on Home-Based Business 101. And we really thank you for taking time from your schedule to our shows here on Home-Based Business 101. And we just really, really, really appreciate you, and we just really thank you, thank you, thank you. And wow, what can I say? What can I say? The show is constantly growing and growing and growing and growing. And it's just moving. I mean, really, really moving. And as you know, we're closing out right now the year. We're closing out by reviewing the works of the late great George Sabira, who wrote four books, but three that we're covering. We did last week, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. This week we're doing Black Folks' Guide to Business Success. And next week we'll close out with Getting Black Folks to Sell. And so, you know, we're really, really thankful for being able to share this information with you and being able to go through it. And me and George was working on a project at the time of his transition, and I'm happy to say that that project is up and running here in the city of Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We're doing what's called the Young Adult Business Builders Academy, and that's where we're working with 18 to 25-year-olds, teaching them the world of entrepreneurship. And once they complete the academy, they're guaranteed to be able to have a business and being able to assist them with getting seed capital for business development. If you'd like to know more about that program, you can go to www.movements, M-O-V-E-M-E-N-T-S, Unlimited, Movements Unlimited, Webley, weebly.org. That's Movements Unlimited dot Wibbly, weebly.com. And you can find out more about the Young Adult Business Builders Academy and how you can support that program. The original Brain Thrust, that program came out of some things that George was working on, and we talked about it, and then we looked at how to we was going to be collaborating on that. And then the next week he wasn't here anymore. He was transitioning and went on home to glory. And so from that, we basically took the ideas that me and him had discussed and then added some of our own information to it here at Movements Unlimited and made it a part of a program we're doing under our nonprofit. So, again, we thank George for the inspiration for getting that program to us and started. I'm going to dive into some of the book this morning and get started on this understanding this book that he wrote right after writing Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. So I'm going to go through the introduction here real quick and share some thoughts and comments about what he wrote in the introduction. He says, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success is a continuation of our mission of informing, prodding, inspiring, and encouraging our people to go into business for themselves. In our first publication, Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America, we apparently touched on issues which a large segment of America's black community felt were deserving of our concentrated attention. In it, we tried to identify some new answers to our people's needs, since many of the old answers were obviously not working. I'm pleased to report that the idea of new, bigger, and better black businesses is gaining a steady momentum in our community. However, our people hold on to their traditions very, very hard, and the idea of employing oneself is still rather unthinkable and incomprehensible to millions of otherwise intelligently proud and gutsy people. We have quite a way to go, believe me. But I'm plunging on, however, more encouraged than discouraged. For years, I've listened to people constantly tell me that black folks cannot read or will not read. It never seemed to dawn on many of these people that perhaps this appeared to be the situation because so very few really relevant books have been offered to our people. How many college-educated blacks, for example, really believe that the books they were forced to study in school actually led them to improve the quality of their life? We believe that if you put practical information in a black perspective, and we definitely believe there is a black perspective, and making it affordable, our people will buy it, read it, and perform. This book is an effort, and in fact, to meet the growing thirst for relevant information, networks, resources for the task at hand, which is business development. He said, the success of our work in very serious business enterprises is not measured merely by the number of products sold, but is determined by ability to measure our effective impact. Our materials are not produced for entertainment, but to help produce action on the part of our readers. We're happy to report the thousands of letters and phone calls we have received. Better than 100 persons specifically stated that as a direct result of studying our material, they started a business, purchased property, or both. We feel very proud of that accomplishment, and we both hope and expect that it will continue. Again, as he said, he wrote these books and he started his very serious business enterprise was to get information out about the whole thing of black business development. And it'd be very interesting here in the year 2012 to see where we've gone with that. There's a lot of people I know that are attempting to do different things in the business realm. And unfortunately, there's still a lot of people who are still looking for J-O-B, just over broke, jump on the beltway, jump out of bed. But the more and more as people are getting downsized, the more and more people are looking about going into business for themselves. And as he said, you know, part of the problem for us in our community is finding materials that are relevant. Because a lot of people don't want to admit, as he said, there is a black perspective or an Afrocentric perspective or an African-American perspective, but the cultural perspective. And too often, you know, we get involved in things that do not embrace our culture, do not embrace our ethnicity and our outlook. And so it makes it very hard. In the overview of the book, he starts off, he says, it appears that the decades of the 80s will eventually be noted as the time in black American history where blacks finally embraced the idea of private business development was the real basis for economic development. He said, prior to the 1960s, our concept of economic development centered on mere survival in a very racist America. After the civil rights gains of the 1960s, black folks gained access to a number of jobs previously reserved for whites. Our economic strategy at that point shifted from mere survival to placement in specific types of jobs. We thought perhaps a little naively that there would be or could be at least or should be a job for everyone who wanted to work. Ain't that something? He said, you know, we thought that there would be a job for everyone that wanted to work. Black leadership figured that by placing individuals in the available and developing job slots, our economic plan would come to completion. There was a growing support system involving blacks that seemed to encourage this philosophy as a really workable program. Yes, we had a lot of programs that, you know, job placement, workforce development, you know, this whole thing of jobs, you know, and people's like, you know, hey, you know, man, and, you know, segregation is over and integration has taken place. We're going to be able to get good jobs. Get good jobs. We make good money. We make good money. We live better. He said, naively, we thought that there was a job for everybody. And, you know, there was not jobs for everybody. It still was. And even today, it's even 10 times worse. I mean, I would probably say going to say 100 times worse in terms of trying to find job slots for people. There aren't no jobs. Well, I'm just saying, there's a scarcity of jobs. there's a scarcity of jobs for everybody in America, then we know it's even harder for those of us in Black America. See, so it's important that we understand that our economic development program has to turn around private business development, developing our own businesses, private business development. So, first, Blacks were gaining very significant political positions in local and state governments to the extent that major metropolitan areas were now headed by Black political figures. No longer were Black politicians identified only with dirt-poor rural towns. Los Angeles, Atlanta, Detroit, and other cities were fully representative of the good old USA, nor were Black mayors the only Black urban leaders. Black school superintendents, police directors, finance people, and other officials mushroomed right before our eyes. With these positions came not only influence in policies and laws, but significant influence over hiring practice. Blacks finally had an end. The second major development during the 70s was the very large increase of post-high school educational efforts in Black youth and adults. In city after city, two-year community colleges were opening their doors and expanding. Our people knew very well that a high school diploma was not enough for a really good job. These local institutions were created inexpensive, generally accommodating to urban residents looking forward to their first college experience. And I can attest to this. I went to the Community College of Baltimore in 1973. Came out of Community College of Baltimore and then went to a major institution, University of New Orleans. I dare say, you know, probably if it wasn't for the community college program, I might not have ended up at a four-year institution. So I can bear witness to what he's saying here because I grew up during that period. I came home from the Vietnam War and, you know, what got my GI money, went to the community college. Initially went, you know, to get my GI money, take a few classes. And then all of a sudden, you know, I really got interested in college and, you know, began to look at what that could mean for me long-term, going to school, getting a degree and all that, because that was like, you know, the more you moved up, the greater you know, was going to be looked upon in terms of the type of job that you would be able to get. And so, you know, that was the time that was what was going on. He said the third major development helping the job slot thinking was the increase in Blackization of the nation's military service. The end of the draft called for a voluntary army. As a result of the end of the Vietnam War, there was now less of a stigma attached to being Black and serving in the armed forces. The Army, in particular, advertised in virtually every Black publication and flooded television with ads, promise civilian-type jobs, free choice of interest, practical experience, and college fund to boot, if you desired it. As a result, Black youth lined up to enter the military. And so, it was, you know, people was focusing, as he said, on this whole job slot development. And then in 1980, the nation received a new president. And with him came a new perspective of what people were supposedly entitled to. The president, though a Californian, was known to be anything but a liberal in his thinking. Yeah, you know we're talking about Reagan. His attitudes towards Blacks were thought to be insensitive, and there appeared to be nothing in his early years in office to change his perception. Actually, the decline of Black progress started before the new president came into office in 1980. Depression level, unemployment, a widening gap between the incomes of whites and Blacks, tremendous increase in the number of female-headed households, as well as the increasing number of children born into poverty were all in motion before 1980. If you add this horror list, the tremendous increase in drug abuse and how related crime played havoc in the Black community, it's easy to see why we're sliding backward. The question people are asking is, what happened? With a new recognized cadre of legitimate political leaders and highly educated middle class, and many doors of opportunity open, why are we still in this situation? Obviously, there's no single cause for our condition today, and even if we could list all the causes, we would obviously, hopelessly over which causes were the most important and should command the highest attention. He says, many Black leaders singled out the president as the major reason for our retrogression, rather than facing up to the fact that the job slot strategy for Black development was insufficient in the first place. See, and search for new answers to our problems. A number of us have, in fact, have dismissed the job slot mentality as a key to our personal future. We believe further that the concept is inadequate for the future of our people as well. People seem to be coming around to the idea that the true freedom has economic foundation, and economic development is, in fact, connected to development of black privately owned business. If we examine the last 20 years, we notice that black businesses seem to be the one thing which has not flourished and grown at the same rate as our voters, politicians, college students, professionals, and even our income. So, he says again, we have to get away from the job slot mentality in terms of what we're focusing on for economic development and really focused on business development. He goes on in his first chapter of this book to talk about why black businesses are essential. And, you know, he just laid out, one, you know, some of the reasons black businesses are essential is because in the creation of jobs, if we create black businesses, then we create job development in our community because then we're able to hire our own. You know, the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own store, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. So, you know, it's job development, reason one. Where do jobs come from? George said, it's always bothered me that both the rhetoric and strategies of many black leaders and organizations do not reflect the fact that they really know where jobs come from. Most of them, anyway, come from businesses. Businesses develop a job for one basic reason. They have determined that if a person could do the job, then the business would make more money, period. Businesses do not hire people just because people are unemployed. Otherwise, they would hire all unemployed people, and in so doing, destroy the business. Businesses do not hire people because they graduated college. Businesses, there may be absolutely no connection with college graduate interests and abilities, what the business actually needs from their employee. Business hire a person because the person's job leads to the company to make more money. So he says, you know, again, where do jobs come from? They come from businesses. So if we create businesses, then we also take and we're able to create jobs. Reason number two, reason why black businesses are essential is because of personal development, leadership training, and recognition. I'm sure, he says, he goes on here, he says, I'm sure you've heard the story about the millionaire who, when asked what it's like to be rich, said, it was more fun getting there than it is now that I have arrived. Strange as it may seem, most of us take a great deal more effort to prepare for life than we do in living life. Many of us go through high school and college being very precise in the courses we select, the instructors we choose, the grades we try to maintain. We study career guides, take standardized tests, and may even take a course on how to take standardized tests. We then study how to prepare resumes, work to perfect our interview skills, read Dress for Success books, and finally land a job. The job becomes for many the end goal after this 8 to 10 year educational preparatory exercise rather than the beginning of life itself. Shortly after one settles into the job, a routine is developed in life often becomes dull and boring while one's life skills begin to stagnate. The readiness for movement, action, and change is lost. Like the millionaire, many of us could say that it was more fun getting there than now it is that we have arrived. The situation is played out by hundreds of thousands of people, all races and colors, but because America is less likely to accept black people on an equal basis, blacks tend to be more likely to stagnate in the kinds of limited job slots that we are given. Many gifted blacks have not had really a new thought or vision undertaking a new challenge in years. They become like the walking dead, doing the same mundane things over and over again. So, you know, business helps us with personal development, training development, leadership development, because jobs, where we can get stagnated. We can get stagnated. And you just get caught up into, you know, work, work, work. Thank God it's Friday. A lot of people are caught up in that syndrome. Work, work, work. Thank God it's Friday. TGIF, you know, ready to get off. Got to go. you know. Why is it that on, if somebody, people get off at 5 o'clock, at 501, 502, the company, the parking lot is empty. People start getting themselves together by 4:15, 4:30, watching the clock, getting the desk organized, go to the bathroom about 10 minutes to 5, make sure you get that last pee break on the job's time before leaving. Come out of the bathroom like 2 minutes to 5, standing by the door, boom, 5 o'clock, boom, punch out, and you're gone. Because your job is a mundane, routine thing that they do that there's no life in it. See, one of the things I enjoy about being a business owner, I'm constantly working on personal development, constantly looking at ways to improve. Constantly. So, you know, it's so important that we do that. Another reason why black businesses are essential, when you get involved in business, then you really begin to understand how the world works. You really begin to understand economies and money and economics. Longer on the job, you don't really get a comprehension of how the world is interrelated. You know, people talk about being independent. And George used to say that was a – he said we should – talk about being interdependent. So, you know, it's important that we focus on that, you know, in terms of the interdependency of what we do, because no one's totally independent. You know, there's a big old world out here, and, you know, we need to look at how our interdependent relationships can help us prosper. That's so key. But he says the third reason is big black businesses are essential is because they will help you understand how the world works. And the fourth reason that I'm going to cover this morning as we wrap up is turning the dollar over in the black community. This is so key. Dollar multiplying effect. When we create businesses in our community and we're able to support businesses in our community where a dollar gets to pass hands at least 10 times in our community before it leaves. And what that mean, pass 10 times? You know, hey, I have a business and somebody else has a business. So I have a business. And like I said, without business, me and my wife ran in the black community in Baltimore, Maryland, with a culture center. People come to the culture center and they spend their money with us. And I always would look for another black business with goods and services that I needed to spend my money with them. I found a good brother who had a computer repair business. I spent my money with him in terms of what I needed to do for computers and stuff on my bill. And then what I did with that was I encouraged him to find somebody and get us develop a list. And then he shared with me, you know, a person who had a dry cleaning business. And then we shared with the dry cleaning person and we found a black business that sold food. So we could buy, you know, food. But the bottom line is we create businesses. We want to turn dollars over in our community. So we can take $1 and make it have the power of 10. Because 10, spent 10 different places in our community before it leaves, that $1 now has the power of $10. And that's the dollar multiplying effect. Too often in our community, the dollar comes in our hand, and as soon as it's in our hand, it's gone. We did not spend it with another black person. And so the money comes in our community, and it goes right back out. And thus, we don't get the power that other people get in their communities who spend their money with each other and make sure that that dollar changes hands 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before it leaves their circle. This is very, very important, why black businesses are so essential and important. And let's go to wrap up. We don't want to cover for today, and we'll be back at you tomorrow, God willing, and the creek don't rise, and to go through some more aspects of Black Folks' Guide to Business Success, a book written by late great brother George Sabir. And, you know, hey, we're sharing this information and works. Excuse me. And if you like, you know, more information or where you can get these books, you know, send us a text, 252-406-0774. That's 252-406-0774. And we'd be more than happy to get that information to you. So until next time, hey, God willing, the creek don't rise. Be right back here with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. as we continue to go through George's book, Black Folks' Guide to Business Success, this week. Thank you for tuning in, and we want to thank the 41,000-plus listeners. And we ask you to, if you're enjoying this show, tell others about it. You know, pass the word on. Thank you.